Hey guys, this is Chris, and I just wanted to give a quick note at the beginning of the show that this week's episode also contains a video. So if you want to follow along with what's happening with the product that we're reviewing this week, just go to the website, it's designreviewpodcast.com, and there's a place to go watch the video. Otherwise, just keep listening to this audio version. If you have any questions or whatever, if you can't get access to a desktop system with a good connection, just watch the video later or something. Anyways, hope you enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Design Review. My name is Chris, and Jonathan isn't here this week because I think he's a little too busy, and I think he's also recovering from the holidays. But it is the holiday season, or, well, we just passed the holidays, and I hope everyone had a great Christmas and whatever else you guys celebrate. And it's also 2015 now. Jeez. Anyways, today's show is going to be a little different than what we usually do, not just because it's me by myself, but I'm trying something different this week. So you can actually listen along with the podcast as usual with just the audio, but I've also got a video feed going as well. And that should hopefully help folks who want to follow along with what we're doing. We've got some feedback about how the images were kind of difficult to follow along with, and it just made it kind of confusing. So I'm trying out this video thing, and I don't know if it doesn't really work. I guess you'll just have to wait till next week or something. The show format will be slightly different as well. I'm gonna run through kind of the same points. You know, we usually talk about expectations and onboarding and the actual experience of using the product. I'll go through those things, but it'll be slightly different because, like I said, we're doing things with video, and so you'll get to kind of see it live, I guess, as I'm talking about things. So let's get into the show. We got a nice show today. This is a product that maybe you've seen before. As you can see, I've got the iTunes or the App Store page open here. And we're going to take a look at a product called Affinity Designer. It's down here. So yeah, it's a product that's been out for a while. I think I first heard about it on Twitter. Somebody on Twitter mentioned it to me. But let's first look at the App Store page as it's loading here. Oh, and it's 20% off. Hey, that's pretty cool. So what it is, it's a vector art program, similar to Illustrator, but it looks to be geared more towards illustrators or digital artists. As you can see by the little image here, it's like a cute little, what is that? Dog? Thing? A dog and a cat swimming in outer space, or I don't know what that is. There's some more pictures. You can make houses. You can make billboards. You can make whatever stuff that is. But yeah, it's like a nice little digital art program. My go-to program for this sort of thing, of course, is Illustrator. But for what I do, it's kind of less about making art like this and more about kind of UX type stuff. So I do make a lot of wireframes in Illustrator. Well, actually, mainly wireframes and icons too. I tend to make icons with Illustrator. I know there are other programs for wireframing. There's a lot of stuff out there that people use. But I just find that I'm very comfortable with Illustrator. I'm very familiar with how it works, and it's very easy for me to just bang out a bunch of wireframes with Illustrator, and then just get them right into prototyping. As an aside, Illustrator is nice because you could also put it into Flash if you know, not that people use Flash that much, but there are times when I like to use Flash just to mock up some interesting kinds of interactions that would be, I guess, a little more difficult for me to build with straight like HTML and JavaScript. I can kind of mock them up in Flash, and the integration from Illustrator into Flash is actually really good. But, compared to what I see here on Affinity, it's Illustrator for me is a lot more just wireframing, less artwork. And, you can see here a lot of people have reviewed it very favorably. So yeah, the price point, I can't see the price anymore because I bought it, of course, and the only option now is for me to open it. But I think it was like $30 or $40 or something like that. And like I said, it looks like it's 20% off, so you might as well get it while you can. But when you consider how much a license for a box copy of Illustrator like CS6 or a subscription to the CS Cloud version of it, a program that allows you to create vector art stuff for under $100 is actually really, really good. It's pretty affordable actually, when you think about how much a monthly subscription at what, $20 costs. So you're talking like a couple $100, $2,400 a year. Anyways, let's get into the product. So I'll open it up here. Ooh, look at that nice little loading graphic. Anyways, they have a splash screen on here. When I first used it, I really didn't look at this, so I just kind of clicked past it. I think I just closed it actually. But Sketch had we looked at Sketch a few weeks ago. And they had like a kind of loading screen like this, and it was the same thing for me. I didn't really click at this, but I guess what is this? Featured work. Check out some of the cool artwork being created in Affinity Designer. Why don't we click on one of these? I haven't actually looked at this before. Jonathan Bell. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay, so he created the little doggy in outer space thing. Look at these mountains. Oh, wow. So this allows you to open it directly in Sketch. That's pretty cool. Oh, but it's a flat image? Oh no, look. You can actually look at all the layers and stuff. That's really nice. I didn't actually know this was here. That's pretty cool. But other than that initial screen, there isn't much else in terms of onboarding. There's just that the option, I guess, to look at these different files. Let me see if I can move this around. No? I don't know. I don't know what I just did. What is that? Oh, there it is. Look at that. Okay. Well, whatever. Yeah, so they had, unlike Sketch, they're Sketch had this intro file that kind of showed you step by step what Sketch could do. So it'd be kind of nice if they incorporated something like that here. I mean, this is pretty cool. I didn't know that they had this. But I don't know, just some other ways to help orient people would be pretty nice. But let's go create a new document. So here you go. You get the same type of dialogue as in Illustrator. And again, when I first used it, I just kind of clicked OK. I didn't really bother to look at these settings too much. Mainly, I was looking at the dimensions, but whatever. 176 millimeters. I honestly don't even know how big that is. I can't imagine it in my head. So I don't know if there's a way to look at either pixels or inches or something like that. That'd be nicer. But you have these different options here for different things. You could say web. Whatever all these things mean, I don't even know. Oh, here you go. Pixels. Let's just hit OK. So boom, we have a file. So you'll see it looks, quite a bit different from Illustrator. There is a lot of stuff that is kind of similar. I mean, the color of the UI is this dark gray color palette thing that similar to what Adobe has done. But across the top here, you have a bunch of different little tools and features. So this is kind of like your arrangement. So you can send things to the back or bring things all the way to the front or just bring them up one or two levels. You've got some other stuff like these in Illustrator. These would be your Pathfinder palette where you could unify or minus front or exclude or whatever. I forgot all the different names for this stuff. This is your snapping thing. By default, actually, when I first used it, snapping wasn't enabled, and I had to actually go figure out how to turn it on. And it's much nicer with snapping on, I find. But you've got across the top all these different I don't know, tools, I guess is the right thing. You've got the toolbar on the left. As you can see, it's much reduced from what you get in Illustrator, which I think is actually a nice thing. But some of it is actually the same. You've got the black arrow tool, you've got the white arrow tool here, and it's nice that they're actually different shapes. You got a pen tool to be able to just draw a path however you need it. Whatever, we'll delete that. And a bunch of other stuff. And then on the right, you've got your palettes. Actually, I'm going to close this other file here. Don't save it. Okay. And so you've got this palette stuff on the right side, which, you know, again, very similar to Illustrator. But, you know, you've got different things here, layers, effects, color stuff, history. It's all pretty similar to what you've seen before. It's interesting because I think this UI, while, you know, it's far reduced, it seems like there's far less features. Like, it seems less, I don't want to say less capable, but, you know, it seems like there's less stuff you can do with it. But at the same time, I think, you know, Adobe products, they tend to go way overboard with different features and options and menus and settings and all kinds of little things. And I don't know, that's just kind of typical of what you'd see in software products that have been around for more than 20 years. They just have so many things in them that they can just feel overwhelming, especially for a new user. And don't get me wrong, like, some of that stuff is actually really, really useful in Adobe products, but I think not all of it is actually necessary for doing, you know, UI UX work. And so it's kind of nice that you come into a product like this and, you know, there's just like a very sparse UI, and it has a lot of the stuff that you just need and kind of nothing that you don't. Another thing that you'll find with Affinity is that the keyboard shortcuts are actually fairly similar. So if you're familiar with how to get around Illustrator with keyboard shortcuts, you can use the same shortcuts here. So V is the black arrow tool, A is the white arrow tool, M is the rectangle tool. So we can do stuff here with that. Delete. And this is really good. It's good that they kept the keyboard shortcuts similar, you know, because I have years and years and years of muscle memory built up from Illustrator. And if you're like me with all that muscle memory built up, it's good to be able to get up and running very quickly and actually feeling productive right away is actually a really good way to onboard people, because you don't really need to go through a whole separate process of onboarding. As long as they know how to orient themselves and get going quickly, maybe you won't need a whole onboarding process. I think it, you know, Sketch, when we looked at Sketch a few weeks ago, their UI was oriented very differently. The keyboard shortcuts were very different. The way you used it was very different from what I was used to with Adobe products. And so I think if the folks at Affinity had copied something like Sketch, you know, it might have been more difficult. I might have felt more anxious when I was just starting, because, you know, just starting making a rectangle would have been more difficult. And so, yeah, so really the rest of this program is kind of up to you what you make of it. You know, it's fairly straightforward on how to get started. And so what do you really want to use this for? It's for making vector art, basically. So Why don't we draw something out here first? So let's draw this rectangle. And as you can see, it's basically just a gray rectangle. We can change the color. So you can change. This is a very interesting color palette. I've never used really color palettes that do this. I'm used to the Adobe style where it's like a big square and you just select the color. But here they've got like, okay, you go from white to black, right? And then also from, desaturated to saturated. And then you can drag this thing around, the little point of the triangle, around in the circle for the different tone color values that you're looking for. And I think this is actually kind of cool. It's a little, disorienting for me because, like I said, I've never really used a color picker that kind of does this. But I don't know, that's pretty cool. It's interesting to say the least. And it might take you, well, it took me a little while to get used to it. It might take you a little while as well. But I kind of like it. So here we can just select a color and notice you can also change opacity as well. There's a little slider at the bottom of this palette which lets you change opacity, which is kind of nice that it's all just in this one concise little window. Swatches, and you can change the stroke size and all kinds of stuff. It's fairly similar to Illustrator brushes. I didn't get into brush painting too much, but I guess you can. Ooh, look at that. Okay. And so the nice thing that this program has is there's an effects palette. I think in Illustrator you'd have to go up here, up to the top menu bar, and select filter and apply a filter, which I don't know, it's such a weird model because it's not a filter really. But you can apply effects here so you can blur stuff. I've never actually done this. Ooh, look at that. Look, you can apply a blur to a vector shape. That's really interesting. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like you shouldn't be able to do that. But you can apply a Gaussian blur. There's other stuff like outer shadow, so you can apply a shadow to the thing. The shadow thing is actually pretty weird. So here I've selected shadow, but it doesn't automatically set like a default shadow thing. Like I actually have to drag the radius and the offset out to a certain degree. Oh, and the opacity is zero. That's why. Oh, and I didn't select it. Okay, here we go. So yeah, it doesn't set like a default value for the shadow, which I think is kind of weird. Like if I say, hey, apply a shadow, like shouldn't it just apply a shadow and then I can change it later? I think that's how it should be. You can change the direction, you can change the opacity of it. What else can you do? Inner shadow, glow, all the same stuff that you would find in the Photoshop like effects palette thing or dialog menu that comes up. It's all here. It's gradients. Oh, so the weird thing about gradients is you can see here when you apply a gradient to a shape, the only option that they give you, and I'm scrolling down this thing, there's really nothing else that it shows you here is opacity. So either you have a gradient like more opaque or less opaque or whatever. But in order to actually modify the gradient, like the way the gradient works, maybe there's a tool here for it, but you have to click this gear, which I think is kind of weird. Because why not have some of these options out here? But when you click the gear, you can actually change the angle of it and change the offset and scale and all this stuff. And that's actually useful. It's just too bad they didn't include it, in the default palette. Or maybe there's a way to customize this, I don't know. And perhaps you can save styles. That way you could, basically apply the same styles to a bunch of different shapes. Actually, let's see. Can I save? Let's see if I can do this. Add style from selection. There you go. That's pretty cool. And then if I were to drag out a circle-y thing and click that, there you go. I applied it. Pretty neat, huh? That's really nice. What else? The type tool actually has some really interesting things about it. So in Illustrator, there are two ways that you can use the type tool. One is you just click and it creates a single line of text. But also in Illustrator, when you click and drag, you end up creating a paragraph box. What do I mean by that? So it allows you to basically do some typesetting. You can put in multi-line text in a specific size box. That's basically what it is. But in Affinity, so if I click, I can type some text. Hello, design, review, listeners. Did I spell that right? Right? Hello, design review listeners. Right? And there you have it. You can click and do a single line. But the other cool thing that you can do with this is when you click and drag, you can actually size the text. So it only works, I guess, with single line text. But clicking and dragging lets you basically increase or decrease the font size, which is nice. So now I can type, hello, design review. Well, it breaks. Listeners. Pretty cool, huh? I like that. I think that's a really nice feature. I wonder if there's a way to actually make paragraphs. I guess there is, but so I just clicked. For those of you listening just to the audio podcast, I clicked in the top. There's a button that says paragraph. I clicked it. It opened a paragraph options dialog. That's what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how this works that well. What else is there to talk about with this? Oh, something else that's really cool. So Affinity works in this kind of modal way. So here in the top left of the screen, you've got these three little icons. And so we're now in the current, I guess they call them personas. But we're in the current persona, which is the draw persona, which is how you use it to just draw vector art and vector shapes and whatever else. But there's also this one, which is the pixel persona. And this allows, I guess, it allows you to work in pixels, which is pretty interesting. So it's kind of like a hybrid mode of Photoshop. I didn't actually play around with this too much, but let's say, yeah, it didn't really work. I tried deleting something. But yeah, I didn't play around with this too much, but it's kind of interesting that you can, oh, look, there's dodge and burn tools. So you can do maybe some basic photo editing, image editing, or something of your vector shapes or whatever. And that's really nice. I think that's a cool feature. And then lastly, there is this export mode, export persona. And what this does is it lets you export stuff on your canvas. How do I deselect that? I don't know how to deselect what I just did. Oh, okay. I had to go back to the pixel persona. So this is really cool. So I'm in export mode. And I can either draw a slice like that with the slice tool, or I can just say select and hit export selected down here on the slices palette. And you can set your presets to whatever else. Let's see, where did that go? So, if I was to draw a slice, you can also export at 2x and 3x in addition. So, this is cool if you want to do some mobile development. You'll be able to export your PNGs at the right sizes for different mobile apps and screen sizes. And that's really awesome. And I like this whole idea of, I don't know, the export mode. What was it? Sketch had something very similar where you could export things just by selecting them and then pressing the export button. And I think it would even automatically export them at 2x and 3x if you needed it. But yeah, I think this is really cool. It's a really nice way of treating this kind of export function. I think it might be a little confusing because you might forget what mode you're in because you have to select the mode and then, or in this case, persona. But you have to select your persona and then like be able to make modifications to your file that way. And you know, I don't know, if you just forget what persona you're in, it might just be confusing a little bit, but I think, I don't know, something about this makes it really, really simple, and it, I don't know, it feels easier, I guess. Like in Photoshop, if you want to export something at in your file, like you have to, you know, draw a slice and then, you know, hit your keyboard command or go up to File, Export to Web or whatever, and then a whole new like dialogue window appears, and it's like this big dialogue window, and I don't know, it's really cumbersome feeling to me. Whereas this, it's like it's really quick. You just change your persona and then hit export, and you've got it. So yeah, I like this. I really like this a lot. I don't know, that there's not much else to talk about. I think if there is other stuff that you'd want to see about this, definitely, you know, let me know. Space bar for the hand. I don't know if you remember that from Illustrator, but that's all there. So let's talk about my expectations. Did it meet my expectations? And I have to say, I'm kind of split on that. Like, yeah, it did, and no, it didn't. I did find it fairly easy to use and fairly easy to get started. It sort of meshed well with what I knew from Illustrator, and that's really good. But I think it's also not quite as deep as Illustrator. I think I sort of mentioned this at the top of the show. There's a lot that Illustrator does really, really well. So, you know, it's got stuff for page layouts and things like that. You know, if you're gonna make, for example, what's a good example of this? Let's say you're gonna make like a multi-fold whatever brochure, or you want to make a one-off like trade sheet for something. Illustrator is a good option for that because it does typesetting and it does page layout stuff, and you can create all your vector art in there, and it works, you know, really seamlessly with Photoshop. So if you have nice images that you want to use in Illustrator, you can monkey around with them in Photoshop and then import them into Illustrator, and everything's all good, right? And so Affinity doesn't really have any of those kinds of features. It's pretty much focused on creating vector art. And you know, it's kind of, I guess you could sort of say it's more tailored towards UI, UX design type stuff. But I think that's actually okay. You know, if you just need some little space to create some vector graphics for a project, like who really cares about page layout, like defining what page layout you're using and how many gutters and stuff that you need? It doesn't really, that doesn't matter at all. It's just extra choices that you have to make when working with a file. And so to me, the beauty of a program like Affinity is just that. It's this simplicity and focus on just kind of the right set of features and nothing really else. And so yeah, I think, would I recommend this to other designers? I think I definitely would. I think it's a nice, simple program. It's also very cheap. Like I said, you know, it's 20% off right now. But yeah, I recommend this to other designers. I think it's nice to work with a program that's focused purely on digital art and working on digital stuff. Back when I was in school, we had to study print design. We had to learn how to prep files for print and getting things printed and do press checks and all kinds of other stuff. And you know, that was useful to know, kind of. Kind of. But it helped me kind of be more diligent about how I prep files and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, like, I really, really haven't used any of that knowledge. I mean, I haven't really done any print stuff in my career, so Not, I won't say that it was a total waste, but it wasn't that helpful. Because most of what I do now is all digital. It's software, it's mobile, it's whatever, car UX stuff. And so I think for today's students, if you're learning print design, it's honestly, it's kind of a waste, I think. Unless you want to work somewhere that's very, very specialized in print. Like, there's a beautiful printing press company in San Francisco in the Presidio called Arion Press, and they do all this like fancy letterpress printing stuff, which is amazing. If you get a chance to go take a tour there, I highly, highly recommend it. If you like looking at this kind of stuff, if you're into typography especially, you'll just be totally amazed. They have all these like, I mean, they cast their own type, they do their own handset letterpress stuff, and they even do like their own, printing and binding. And I mean, it's just such a cool, it's a cool place to learn about printing. But for the rest of you who are out there working digitally and making digital interfaces and doing design for screens and making artwork on screens, you probably don't need to learn anything about print design. And so tools like this, when I was in school, would have been totally, totally useful. $40 for a vector drawing program. There's really no reason for you not to get this. Even when I was in school, I don't know, Illustrator, I think, was still over a couple hundred bucks. Like, it wasn't cheap, even with a student discount. Not to mention, like, having to get a computer and a zip drive and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is $40. I mean, even if you don't end up using it, it's worth it just to learn about the tool and see what it's like. And who knows, you might end up liking it like I do and start trying to factor it into your work process. So yeah, Affinity Designer, let me quit out of this. It's available on Mac through the App Store. Like I said, I think it was like $40, but and it's also 20% off right now. So definitely go check it out. I recommend it. It's a good program. You can look at these crazy files of like cats and dogs floating through outer space. So yeah, check it out. So thank you guys. That's about all we have time for today. A few things I want to mention at the end of the show. So before the holidays, we had talked about getting a t-shirt designed together. We are in the process of doing that still. The t-shirt thing kind of went on hold. I actually was out of town for a little while, and then when I came back, I ended up getting stomach flu, and yeah, it was not very good. So that's part of why we haven't done a show in a while. And so yeah, so the t-shirt is still coming. We'll probably announce something when we have it ready. Once again, guys, we'd love to hear from you if you have any comments about the show. If you have any questions about Affinity Designer, I might be able to answer them for you. So definitely try and get in touch with us. There's a contact form on the website. It's www.designreviewpodcast.com. You can also get in touch with both Jonathan and I on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MachineHuman, and Jonathan's is DesignUXUI. We're on there, I don't know, fairly often throughout the day. So definitely get in touch with us there. Also, if you have any comments or feedback for us about the future of the show, we'd love to hear it. Like what, even like products and stuff you'd like us to take a look at. Or, if you're working on a product and you want some UX design feedback, definitely, contact us there. We're thinking of, Jonathan and I have been thinking about changing the format of the show a little bit because we've been doing this thing weekly for a little while, but maybe we might switch to monthly so that we can kind of talk about some meatier subject matter, and not just kind of go through a product every once in a while. But, we'd love to get some feedback. I haven't, we haven't really made a decision yet about what we're going to do. But definitely one of the possibilities is to move to a monthly format and then give give us time to basically talk about, I don't know, a subject. Say, for example, if we wanted to get into like onboarding as a topic, then we could spend some time going through a bunch of different apps and talk about onboarding and what are some principles and what are some practices that we found by using different apps. So that's one idea, but we'd love to hear from you guys if you've got any suggestions. As I said, contact us through the website or contact us via Twitter. We're definitely open to hearing from you. All right, well, that's about it. I think Jonathan will be back next week. Sorry he couldn't make it this week. It's just been kind of a crazy time with the holidays and all of that. But I think we'll be back to our regular kind of show format next week. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.